Welcome back into the Hooyah podcast. We missed last week. It's a crazy week. We had seven teams going seven different directions last week. So,
man,
it's in the middle of conference calls whenever we have our normal recording time. So we had to push that out. But
we know y'all missed us. We know y'all missed the episode last week.
Everyone missed us. Got two great guests this week. Let's go ahead and jump into the first one. We got Coach Elkins. The rest of the world probably knows him as a special teams coach.
Yeah, we don't do that here.
But he's really what's your real title?
My real title is QRF coordinator and receivers coach.
Tell the fans, I get this question probably twice a week. What is QRF?
QRF stands for Quick Reaction Force. It's something that we stole from military people, obviously, and all that stuff. We're not trying to say that we are military by any stretch. You know, our life's not on the line when we go out there and then play a football game. Right. But it just adds to an identity. Quick Reaction Force are the people you call in when things don't go to plan. You know, like we always tell our offense, the number one goal on offense is to do what? It's always go score. But if you have to punt, then you want to call in the QRF to flip the field and do those things. So we don't have a punt unit. We have a Delta squad. We don't have a punt return team. It's a SEALs unit. You know, we don't have a kickoff. It's the bomb squad. And then we don't have a kickoff return. It's SWAT. So that's kind of what QRF stands for, and it adds to an identity for our guys.
Yeah.
And your teams have really – I mean, you guys have really bought into that.
100%. And the cool thing is our guys, they completely buy in. You know, if they hear somebody say, hey, coach, what are we working on punt today? Our guys lose their minds on them and say, you know, we don't have a punt and all that stuff. And our entire team, even the big bodies, the offensive linemen, you know, that we don't have a field goal and extra point. It's auto. It's going to be automatic. So everything we do is definitely identity-based, and our guys truly do buy into it.
We even talked about it the other day. We were talking around before warm-ups. We were like, if Coach Elkins were to ever build a resume to, like, show the outside football world, would you put QRF on it, or would you put special teams?
I think I'd have to put QRF on it. I've bought into it as well. I don't know what special teams is. You know, I go to these clinics or conferences or whatever, and I went to one last year, and they were all talking about special teams and all that stuff, and I was just kind of, my skin was crawling. I was like, we don't call it that, you know, so.
And not only that, I mean, you've excelled. I mean, this is what, fourth year you've been the coordinator or co-coordinator?
Yes, I think five or six now. Yeah, I mean, it's been a while.
So you've kind of really taken that on as I mean, obviously you coach receivers now as well, but QRF is kind of your thing, and we've had some guys that have done it really well.
Yeah, you know, when I first got told I was going to be the QRF coordinator, I was kind of shell-shocked a little bit because I was a quarterback, obviously, you know, had no dealings with QRF whatsoever, just kind of played quarterback, held a little bit, but that was about it. And when I got told that, you know, it was obviously kind of, I won't say panic, but you had to figure things out on the fly.
Sudden change.
Yeah, a little sudden change. And then now you fast forward even a year after that. I love it, getting creative and allowing different guys to do different things and have different roles. I mean, it's been a lot of fun coordinating those units.
You know, you've had, you know, Damian was a two-time All-American, mm-hmm. and Brayton Hargrove was an All-American, mm-hmm. basically by blocking kicks. That's the only reason. And then Cody Harrell was an All-American. So, I mean, you've had some guys. You've led the nation in some categories. I think anybody that watches our teams play, that we always excel in that area of the game. And it's a huge advantage. I mean, you can get a score or two scores or a couple extra possessions a game just by excelling in that area.
100%. And, you know, all that credit goes to the players. I tell them all the time that I can draw up whatever I want scheme-wise or put the – I mean, but they are the ones that got to go out there and execute it. And you look back, and those guys that you mentioned, you know, the Damian Gomes, the Hargroves, the Cody Harrells, had nothing to do with scheme. They were just really talented, and they bought into it, and they cared about it a lot. And then when the ball was in their hands, they usually made good things happen. So it's been a lot of fun coaching those guys and having those guys around and finding the new roles for the new guys now. You know, when you lose a Damian Gomes and you lose a Cody Harrell a few years ago and all those things, you got to find that next piece, and we always are reloading with guys that can step into those roles.
One of the guys that helps you out is Trevor Higginbotham, and I mean, he pretty much made a career out of doing that.
Yeah, you know, Higgy, as we call him, you know, he was a receiver for us as well, but his, like you said, his big thing was QRF and running down on bomb or blocking somebody on SWAT or doing whatever, and he made a great career out of it and was voted a special teams captain. his last year and all that stuff. So yeah, and you got a guy like Kincaid this year who's a special teams captain, but there's multiple guys, you know, him, Guy Powell. I mean, I can go down the list of guys that have made a living on QRF and made a bunch of plays and flipped games for us this year.
You know, there's one of the great things about being in the playoffs is obviously you're in the playoffs, but one of the worst things is you only get 58 guys on your roster, and you're going to have guys that have played in every single game on QRF that aren't going to be on your 58 man.
Yeah, and that's something that's, you know, it's all evaluation, you know, and luckily we got the opportunity week this week, and then we don't play till next week in round two, but you continue to evaluate those guys and figure out who are those best 58 men that can go out there and help you on offense, defense, and QRF and go make a big run and go win games.
Yeah, that's part of it because we play a lot of guys. I mean, we travel usually 90 plus. Yep. Even on road games, so you know, there's some guys that their main role is QRF, and they really excel. I mean, you mentioned Aiden Kincaid. That's, you know, he probably hadn't played 10 snaps at receiver all year, if that.
Yeah, I mean,
he's been one of the best, you know, guys on QRF.
100%.
What do you look for when you're looking to fill your, you know, especially your return teams, like your coverage teams? Mm-hmm. What do you look for?
It starts with a want to. Guys just got to go out there and want to do it. You know, they want to fly down. You know, we tell them all the time it's the longest plays in a football game. You know, you always hear coaches say you got to fight for 6 seconds. You got to do this for 6 seconds. Well, when a QRF play happens, it's going to be 8 to 10. So you got to have the want to and be unselfish when you're doing that. You know, because it takes a unit to be successful on your coverage teams. It takes a unit to be successful and have big returns. So the biggest thing we look for is want to and the guys that care about Hardin Simmons and they care about HSU football and QRF. You can't have one without the other. I tell guys all the time, you can't tell me you care about this place, but you're not giving everything you got on a punt return or a punt or whatever. You got to have both to be able to be successful in those units, and that's the biggest thing we look for is the want to, and then after that, it just becomes, you know, going out there and playing football and having fun.
Speed, too. I mean,
100%. Yeah, 100%. You got to have speed, too. You got to find
important.
Out. But, you know, sometimes – you sit there, and if a guy just knows what he's going to do and he's going to be in the right spot every single time, and he might not be the fastest guy that we have, but you know he's going to do it exactly how he's coached to do it and do it right, then that goes a long way as well.
It's kind of like Bruin Wright is a freshman for us. He hasn't really gotten a whole lot of snaps on defense, but he's made a fantastic freshman year for himself on QRF, got elected to the leadership council. He's on that now, and that's a guy that's been really good on QRF as a freshman, making an impact.
We could go down the list. I mean, there are so many of them. Bruin Wright, you know, Garrett Lero is another one that, you know, has not made a big impact on offense or defense or whatever it is, but he has shown up time and time again on the film and QRF. I mean, there's 10 to 12 guys at minimum that we could sit here and name and say that they love to roll out for QRF for sure.
And for those younger guys, I mean, that's our chance to get on the field.
I mean, we tell every one of them in the recruiting process. I mean, if you sit in a recruiting meeting with us, we say the quickest way to make an impact as a freshman is to impact the game in QRF. And we've had, I don't know how many freshmen this year and last year and even in the last 4 to 5 years that have impacted the game. And that's why they travel. That's why they do the things they do. And they've had success doing it. So
even fall camp, that's stated at the beginning of fall camp. It's like if you're a freshman, you want to make an impact, find a way into QRF, find a way in.
Absolutely.
So we've talked a lot about QRF, but you also coach the wide receivers. Talk about your receiver group.
They're awesome, man. We're old this year. You know, we got 5 seniors in that group. Chris Sims, Dozy Ifeati, Garrett Lero, Aiden Kincaid, and Shamar Davis are the kind of the old heads. But, you know, you got a guy like Wes Douglas as well, who's been here for 2 years now and has played in a lot of football games. They're awesome to deal with. They go to work every single day. They make fun of me all the time because they know it's kind of like the offensive lineman. You know, period two, you guys know what you're going to do every day. Little things and do the blocking stuff and the stuff that's kind of mundane. And our guys, we do the same thing at receiver. We're going to do some kind of blocking drill because we tell them all the time, if you can't block, you can't play. So you got to be able to do that. But they're an awesome group. They know when to have fun, and then they know also when to kind of turn that off and get serious during a meeting or practice and get after it too.
Speaking of blocking, there's a new award at the end of each week, the Pitbull Chain. Can we go a little into detail on the Pitbull Chain that we have now?
The Pitbull Chain's a big, like, 6-inch chain that hangs down. It's made out of gold. It's got a Pitbull on the front, and we give that to the best receiver that blocks the best in a game. I grade it out, and we talk about it, me and Coach Whitehead. kind of look at everything and sit there and grade it out. And we give out the pit bull chain of the week, and those guys usually wear it around the locker room. They've came up with a new sign and everything when they get it and all that stuff, and they've really taken it and ran with it and enjoyed it as well. So
yeah,
you know, fans out there, they see them making touchdowns and mm-hmm. making catches or whatever. Probably in our scheme, their job is to block just as well as it is to be out there making catches. Like there's no way Noah and Braylon are gonna make plays without them blocking on the outside.
Yeah, it's kind of like we talked about on QRF a little bit, willing to be unselfish. You know, every receiver in the country, if you ask them what they want to do, they want to go catch 10 footballs, they want to have 200 yards and score 3 or 4 touchdowns a game. But luckily with us is our guys, that yes, they want to do that, but they know in order to get those opportunities, you got to be able to spring backs for the big run. You got to be able to block on the perimeter for screens when we're throwing bubbles or spot screens or whatever it is, and take pride in that, because again, you can't do one without the other.
Yeah, and I think Wes got a holding penalty or whatever, and he was just trying to destroy that guy.
Yeah, I mean
sometimes you'll take those. I mean they're not going to call those every time.
No, you'd rather a guy be super aggressive and try to do his job to the best of his ability and go out there and be really physical on the perimeter than kind of just mirror those guys or get in the way. You know, that's what we talk about in the receiver room all the time, is like sometimes you got to almost forget about technique and just go, you know, be super aggressive on a guy and give all you got and see what happens.
There was a play this weekend against ETPU where the play was like in between the hashes, and Chris Sims is out on the numbers and drove the cornerback like 10 yards back, put him on his back, and he's as fired up as the offense is for like the 8-yard gain that we had. It was nowhere close to the play, but Chris was going 110% on the perimeter.
Yep, and we take pride in that, and our guys, you know, that stuff gets pointed out in film, and that stuff gets, I think even on that play, Chris kind of looked at the sideline and kind of gave me that like, hey, I'm doing my job out here.
He's coming for the pit bull chain.
So, yeah, pit bull chain and all that stuff. So, no, they're doing good.
So, you've been here a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You came in
2014,
played quarterback a couple of years, Devo, and then you've been on the coaching staff now. You're probably the longest tenure?
I think so. I think Coach Whitehead and Coach Burleson, we were talking about a few weeks ago.
They came together, and I think you're the next.
So I got here in 14 to play quarterback, did the freshman year on Devo, had a lot of fun with that. That was a great group. You know, guys like Alex Bell was on that team, and there's others. And then sophomore year was a backup, but I couldn't stay healthy, man. I had so many knee surgeries before I got here, and had a few more when I got here and all that stuff. And Cole's laughing because he knows that, you know, that's the
golf club.
Exactly, the golf club and all that stuff. But anyways, and then, you know, Coach Whitehead kind of brought me in and said, hey, do you want to coach? You know, all that stuff. We'd love to have you a part of our staff. And I thought about it, and I thought it was the best thing for me and my career. So that, I guess, that spring of 15, I joined the staff as a student assistant, did that for 3 or 4 years, graduated. Graduate assistant, and then now here we are as a full-time coach 4 or 5 years later.
JJ's always been my guy. He left me a couple years ago because he's always been the roster guy.
That is not true.
And in my role, that's the most important thing, is the roster. Getting everybody who's on there is supposed to be on there, who's not supposed to be on there. And then he got moved up a couple years ago, and he just left me because, you know, I would call JJ, what do you want? You know, what do you need?
Right. Yeah.
We have that kind of relationship, and still do.
Who's your guy now? Who's the guy?
Coach Floyd. Coach
Floyd. Okay.
He does a great job too. So
yeah, Coach Floyd crushes it.
he does a good job, but JJ would always. What is it you need?
You got to give.
And he would always give grief, but he would always do it too.
And that's awesome.
And I tease him that he divorced me a couple years ago. handed me off to somebody else.
Not even close to true at all.
How many birthdays have you had?
See, I was hoping that wasn't going to get brought up.
I know. I told you I probably wouldn't, but I did.
I don't know. Cool, how many birthdays have I had?
Yeah, it's got to be like just in this season, not even the calendar year. We're probably up to like 80. to 85 birthdays. We had a he hasn't played anymore. Like last year, Gavin Steiger was a tight end, and he literally made a shirt that said "Happy Birthday, Coach Elkins."
He did
that. I wore throughout fall camp.
Okay, we have to tell the fans out there because not everybody knows. But
yeah, I mean, like it was here when I got here 3 years ago, but it's just been like an ongoing thing, like just randomly.
Maybe a few years before, like a year before you even got here, is when I think Bodie started it. I'm gonna.
That would 100% make sense if it was Bodie. Yeah.
Random fall camp day. I was probably up there setting up a computer or something or getting a presentation pulled up. And next thing you know, happy birthday is being sung to me. And now, I mean, Cole, how old do you think I am in the amount of Harden Simmons birthdays I've had?
Probably like 332 or something. It's old. But yeah, it's like someone will just randomly yell out in a meeting, "Happy birthday, Coach Elkins!" And then we just break out in song. I know every Sunday you have one.
Every Sunday?
Every Sunday.
Thursday?
Every Thursday. And then throughout fall camp, throughout the entirety of fall camp, and then bus rides back, sometimes you'll have a birthday. It's got to be, like, since you got here, it's got to be in the 300s, 400s.
I used to kind of sell it and get, like, frustrated with y'all and say, like, "Hey, y'all stop."
Yeah.
Now I don't even do anything, and yet they still do it.
So yeah.
I don't know what I have to do to shake it. It's probably never going to get shaken.
Well, we appreciate you coming in.
Absolutely.
I went out to the field house yesterday. I was going to have a different guest, and I go down there, and I was like, "JJ, you're going to be our guest tomorrow. You'll be awesome."
Yeah,
and you have been. You're awesome.
I had no choice.
Yes, sir.
I
appreciate
you guys. Yes, sir. So much. That's great, and we'll take care of Trinity in a couple of weeks.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Hope you have a good rest of your birthday, Coach.
I appreciate you guys.
All right, let's hit our last week recap. Last 2 weeks. We got 2 weeks to fill out, and there was a bunch in there.
Yeah.
So, men's soccer, they won the ASC tournament.
In PKs.
Yeah, they won 2-0 in the semis over ETBU, and then they won in PKs against Mayard Baylor. You know, that was when football played down there. Then women's soccer, men's soccer, all three were playing for a championship down there in Belton on that day. And the Cowboys, they won in PKs and back-to-back titles for them. And they went to Trinity, and Trinity's really good, and they lost 5-0 to them in the first round of the NCAA tournament on Saturday evening. Women's soccer, same thing. They won 5-1 over HPU in the semifinals. And then in the first minute of overtime, they get a goal from Lexi Stinson again to beat Mary Harden Baylor. And, you know, then they went into the playoffs against Trinity and lost 2-0 to them. That was a great game, too. They had a lot of good opportunities in the first half and then end up losing 2-0. Yeah. But it was, you know, it was a typical Harden-Simmons Trinity game. So that was a fun weekend. And volleyball, 2 weeks ago, they went down and they beat Southwestern, lost to Trinity. Then they went to the ASC tournament last week, and the semis was just a crazy match against Mary Harden Baylor. They were down 2-1, end up winning the fourth game 32-30.
Wow.
And then, you know, and they had, I think Mary Harden Baylor had 5 chances to, you know, they were serving to win the set, and the Cowgirls just kept fighting it off, and then they end up winning 15-12 in the last game. Was crazy. Jaden Hernandez got hurt a little bit. Gabby Jones, who hadn't been playing as much, has to take her place, and then Gabby on, it was 13-11 in the fifth game. So, you know, it's down to the end. And she just kind of sends a ball over the top. You know, she wasn't hitting it, but she perfectly placed it, and it landed like right inside the line. Like,
wow.
You know, it gives them a 14-11 lead, and they end up winning out. And then they played ETBU, is the number one team in the nation.
Only undefeated team left in the nation.
Undefeated. They got the number one seed, overall seed, and they go 26-24 in the first game. They lose. Second game was like 25-18, and the third one was like 27-25. I mean, like, they were all close. Yeah. They were all right there with them, but just not enough. And then they were like the second or third team out.
Oh, man.
For the NCAA tournament. So and then cross country, they went to California.
They did.
And the regionals. Noah Bella finished 56th He had a 26-48, and then Jasmine Mendez finished 80th to lead the women with a 24-34.
They were running in essentially a monsoon. Did you see the meet out there?
I saw Sydney's video. Yeah,
there was like
earlier this morning.
There was like a foot of water at one point that they were running in. It was insane.
Craziness. Then game you called, Devo, they finished their season with a win over Shriners.
Sure did. Yeah.
Finished 5-1, so that was good. And then basketball teams are off to a good start. The men have beaten TLU Shriner. TLU game, they're up 20. TLU pushes it back, gets it tied, and then Silas Davis hits a three-pointer at the buzzer to win that one. Yeah. So that was exciting season opener. They beat Shriner. Then beat McMurray, went on the road, beat the University of Dallas. So they're 4-0, and they women went to – last weekend they went to Memphis, played in the Rhodes tournament. They beat Berea in the first game, and then Rhodes the second game. Both games were 25, 30 points. So, I mean, they were – they beat Shriner. They did drop the season opener to TLU. Game they led most of the way. TLU got them at the end, but I think Cowgirls are going to be good. I mean, they're playing a bunch of freshmen. It's just going to take them a little bit of time, but I think both teams are going to be really good. The men are ranked 20th, I think, in the national poll, and they have some big ones. We'll go ahead and talk about it because that's all we have for next. All we have this week is basketball. There's no football and all the other sports are done. So. The basketball is tonight versus Concordia, and then they play at Texas Lutheran on Sunday. And then the big one for the men is a week from Tuesday they play at St. Thomas, which is who they played in the NCAA tournament.
That was a crazy game last year, too.
Yeah, it was a 72-70 game.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
And so they play them down there. That'll be a big game for them. And then the Saturday – or the Sunday after the football game at Trinity – They play Trinity on that
Saturday. Really?
So,
okay.
So they have a good time. And then the women, they're playing Trinity at home on Friday. This is their only game this week. So
there you go. Nice light week for women's basketball after getting back from Memphis.
Yeah. It's a long trip. I think Coach Jeff Whitehead said, when I saw him Sunday when we were getting ready for the show, he's like, yeah, Kendra rolled in about 2:50. on Sunday morning, Sunday morning, they got home at like 2:50 in the morning. Oh, so
they probably wouldn't.
That's a long trip. I don't care if you fly, if you bus, whatever. It's still a long trip. But
probably.
Well, we have another guest.
Yeah, we sure do.
One of our favorites. I can't play favorites. I don't usually play favorites, but
it's Jackson Lunsford. One of our favorites. You know,
I've known Jackson for ever.
Yeah.
We've been around for a while. We've known each other for a little bit, for sure.
Man, good week for you. We got Lunsford on the podcast, and then another longtime favorite, Colin Donnelly, QRF Player of the Week for the conference.
Yeah, no kidding. Just happy for Colin. We had dinner with his family and Braden Bookout and Christian Ash afterwards Saturday night. He was pretty pumped up. He's You don't get very many interceptions on punt return.
No, you don't.
Punt coverage. See him come up with the ball, and I was like,
Because we were in the hot, and then all of a sudden we hear like the crowd erupt, and there's a bad snap, and the punter just, I guess, tried to make something happen, just threw it up in the air.
And of course, he had sniffed out the fake punt in the first half. I think he had Player of the Week, so that was awesome. People that don't know. Colin's a freshman on the team. He's from Oklahoma, which I'm from Oklahoma. We're from the same hometown. He went to a different high school, but we're literally in the same hometown. And his wife and my wife are like best, they have a group of friends. They go on a girls' trip every summer or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
They're still good friends, so and have been since high school, so obviously known him. So he's definitely another one of my favorites, and he's made a few plays. So
great week for Grubbs.
And then Lunsford, we're gonna get personal again. Lunsford and my daughter were around each other from fifth grade on.
Yeah,
probably. I mean, my daughter and his best friend Jax Camacho, who came here for a little bit, they they were always together.
Yeah.
And I've told Jackson this before. I was like, hey, I never, you know, most dads worry about their daughters whenever they go out and do stupid high school stuff. Well, yeah. I never worry about it because she had two bodyguards.
Yeah.
Well, we did smart stuff. We never do nothing dumb.
Yeah, nothing dumb.
No, of course not. Very responsible young gentleman.
But, yeah. So I was happy when Lunsford decided to come here, and then obviously he's had a good career. Yes. Let's talk about it. So you're a Wiley kid.
Yes, sir. Born and raised in Abilene, Texas. Been here my whole life.
And you kind of bought into the whole Hardin Simmons thing, and
yes, sir.
And like a lot of players, started out on Devo, and then played a little bit as a sophomore, and then. Mm-hmm. Last 2 years, started every game but one?
Yes, sir. Every game but one, because I think it was either my ankle or concussion.
Something. Yeah, missed a game. Yeah. But other than that, you've been out there playing. Okay, so playing for Coach – I mean, everybody plays for Coach Burleson technically, right. But you guys, the offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get him more.
Yes, we get him all the time.
Yeah, we do.
Tell everybody what he's like. What is he really like? Like, I mean, y'all get a different side of him. Yeah. You get him in meetings and all that.
Playing with Coach B, he's fun to play with just because he understands. Like, you get some places and their head coach obviously isn't an offensive line coach. But having him as an offensive line coach just makes it cool to know that the head coach is thinking about the offensive line. Like, really thinking about him because obviously he's our position coach. So, playing with him is fun. He brings an intensity and always has a standard for us just because we know what we can do and he knows what we can do and he always makes sure to hold us up to that standard and just consistently pushes us in a good way. But he also knows how to have fun with us. Like, we always having fun with him.
Oh, yeah.
There's never a dull moment with Coach B. It's always fun. We're always messing with him. He's messing with us. We have our little thing on Fridays where we run up to him and he always gives us a little, like a little dad joke. Gives us a dad joke every Friday. But, just playing with them is fun. We, like I said, never have a dull moment. We just always go in with each other and always know we have each other's backs and know when to get serious but also know how to have fun in playing this game.
And, like, him being an offensive lineman, he knows how weird that position group is.
For sure.
So whenever we, like, mess with him or we're joking around with him, he knows exactly what it's about. He was an O-lineman. He knows how weird that position group is. And
yeah, it's always the most weird group on the team.
Oh, yeah, and he was a part of it, so he's able to buy in and know exactly what we're doing, and it's awesome.
So, I've always wondered this because, I mean, Coach Willis is an intimidating-looking person.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, 100%.
So, if you miss a block or you give up a sack or whatever, what is that feeling like when you have to go over there and see
him? Oh, it's just a horrible feeling. He's not fun at all. He knows how to definitely lay into you. Like, he's a nice guy all the time, always has your back and everything, but when you mess up, he knows to... Not in, like, a bad way. Like, he'll make sure you know you messed up, but he'll also encourage you and just be like, hey, you got to go next time. But, like, obviously a little bit harsher than that. But,
he's not going to sugarcoat anything.
Yeah, no, he doesn't sugarcoat nothing. He keeps it realistic, keeps it true, and just makes sure you know, like, it's serious. Like, we got to protect Kyle. Like, that's our big job. Protect Kyle, protect the running backs, let them make their holes or hit the holes. And just make the plays and everything, and we know that falls on our backs, and he makes sure we know that and makes sure we know how serious our job really is. And if you do let up a big play, like a bad play, it is not the best feeling in the world. Obviously it sucks because you just let up a bad play and you know you let up a bad play, and then when you get to the sideline and he'll have his iPad where we're watching the film, and then he'll just look at you. He won't even say something sometimes. Yeah. So just look at you and just start shaking his head, and that's probably the worst. I'd rather him lay into me than just look at me and shake his head, and that's a bad feeling. But other than that, he's pretty cool about letting it go. That's what I like about it, is he lets it go and just knows that you know you got to fix it. He's not going to harp on it and just stay on that one thing, but he'll move on and just say, hey, next drive, next play. That's our mentality right now as a team, but really as an offensive line. If it's good or bad, it's next play. You got to go out there and do the same thing next play. If you did a really good job, you got to go out there and do it again. If you did a bad job, you got to go out there and fix it and move on to the next play.
So your position group, your offensive line, y'all have been together. Y'all came in together.
Yes,
I mean, four of your seniors, and then I guess Mike's a junior. But I can remember the summer before, after y'all had all committed and got here, and I was just, we were having a casual conversation with Coach Barlow, and he goes, I got an offensive line group that this group is going to be really good. He's like, I'm so high. You know, sometimes it's hard to get excitement out of him. Yeah. You know, just he likes to play it off, but you know, sometimes it's hard. But he was just, you know, being, you know, kind of open. He's like, I think this group is going to be really good. It's like, it's going to be one of the best groups we've had. And then you look at it, and I forget the number, but let's see. I guess you're at 20, so 60, 80. No. Y'all have almost 100 starts between you.
Yeah,
in your career.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure. We got experience.
Philly played a little more than the rest of you as a freshman. Then those other guys played a little more as sophomores, and then you were in there. So I mean, it's what's it like playing with? I mean, y'all surely know everything what everybody's doing.
Yeah, it's really nice when you get out there and just everybody's on the same page. That's one of the big things. Like me and Bodie, we've been right next to each other for 2 years now, playing every game with each other, and like. You go out there, and we don't even have to make calls no more. We'll just, like, tap on each other and be like, especially, like, when we're in a long drive and we're really tired, we'll tap on each other and be like, huh. And we'll just, like, each other, and we know exactly what we're talking about. We know how to help each other. Like, when we combo, I know how to play his combo, how he likes to play it. And I know how to hit him just like he likes it and makes him do good with his guy. And then, like, say we have an Okie front, which is three-man front, I know that he's going to have my inside help just because we've played together so much. I know he's always going to have my back and just always know how to play with each other. And that's a big thing is experience with each other. As an offensive lineman, for sure, is you got like the receivers and quarterback connection. They have a big connection. They have to know how to play with each other. But offensive line kind of gets slept on. Like, we have to know how to play with each other and know each other's strengths and weaknesses and know how to put it all together to make it run fluidly. And it's just – we've got it down, I would like to say, really, really good. So we know what to do, we know how to do it, and we just know that we got each other's backs.
So the if we have a big offensive play, if it's a pass play, it's like 80 yards, or it's Noah break, you know, hitting the hole that y'all created.
Yeah.
Which one's best for you?
They're both great. I'd honestly like the passes. The passes are fun because, like, when you lock down your guy and it's, like, a clean pocket and you just see the ball go and you just see him catch it and run, it's just it's a good feeling because as an offensive line, we always celebrate in the end zone. That's our big offensive thing. You got to celebrate in the end zone. And when you get to run down the field knowing you just did your job, and same thing with the run. When you get to run down the field knowing you did your job great and we just had a big play and we got a touchdown off of it, we get to run down, celebrate, and have fun with it. But I would definitely – I don't know. I really do like the pass, but I also like the run. Because run, it depended on the offensive line, you know. So I'm going to change my answer. I'm going to say run. The run is a lot better. It's fun just because you know you did your job at a great, great rate, and it just worked great. So
it's awesome. Well, so, you know, now it's win or go home.
Yeah.
You know, your career is – is one game or five games? How do you flip that mentality? I mean,
You just kind of got to play with that.
You don't think about it being over. You're just trying to win that one game.
That's been my mindset all week or all year. Kind of, I just don't. Knowing it's my senior year, I don't ever look to the future. Like I couldn't even tell you who we were playing next week most of the time because I was just so focused on one game at a time. Because like. I know it's going to be over after this. This is my last season. I'm trying to soak it up as much as I can and just really lean into the tradition and everything at HSU and learn as much as I can. And so that means I've just been playing one week at a time, just going and playing and doing what I can do right now. I can't predict the future. I can't do nothing about the past. All I can do is the present. So I just try to focus one game at a time, one week at a time. And now that we're in playoffs, it's – even more true now just because it really could be over after one game or it could be over after, like I said, five or six games. And it's just have to go do what you can do one week at a time.
Well, yeah, definitely. Yeah. All the goals are still out there. Everything probably a little different path than we thought, you know, but
yeah,
but it's still all about you. You got to beat the teams that are in front of you.
Exactly. And that was a big message after the UMHB game was like all of our goals are still obtainable and ahead of us.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Cole's going to run you through our rapid fire section.
I sure am.
Let's do it.
All right, so
he didn't get advance warning either. So
when we were walking in together, I gave him a little bit of a rundown. Give him a little bit of a rundown. He was kind of asking. Yeah, we're going off the dome here today.
Yeah,
off the noggin.
Off the noggin.
So you've been here fourth year. Created a lot of memories as a cowboy. We're gonna start. What is your favorite on-field moment that you've had in your 4 years here?
Let's see. Probably one of those big plays that we hit. I remember we were running down the field, or no, it was one of the big plays that it was a pass play, all right, and we're going out there, and it's Noah was helping us with protection, and me and him are in the backfield when the ball's Lord knows how far down the field, probably like a 50-yard touchdown, and me and him just there in the middle of the field just started celebrating like crazy together, and that was just that was a good feeling just because I know Noah stuck it out with me, and he's been here. He's also from Abilene. I've known him a long time. And celebrating with him there was probably my most fun memory.
Was that this year?
Yes, it was this year. I can't remember the game.
I know we hit a big one against Chapman.
It was at home. I think it might have been Dozie's 90-yard touchdown.
Oh yeah, and especially as an O-lineman, you think you're about to have to.
Oh yeah.
Sorry, Coach Burleson, but sometimes it's nice when you're backed up deep in your own territory and you have a really big play, knowing you're not going to have to go 18 plays, 90 yards down the field.
Yeah, he says crave those long drives, but dang, I really like those.
Yeah, sometimes it's nice when it's world breakers for everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, obviously, with the kind of team that we have and the camaraderie that we have as a Cowboy football team, a lot of good off-the-field memories. Yeah. What would you say is your favorite off-the-field memory that you've had?
Off the field is kind of a memory of a time. It's just like the locker room baseball. We play little games.
Oh, yeah.
Locker room baseball. We're having fun in the locker room. And really just any time I'm in the locker room, that's probably one of the things I'm going to miss the most is just being with everybody in the locker room, hanging out, doing some dumb stuff as an O-line, doing some dumb stuff as a whole team, and just having fun with everybody in the locker room and just messing around, having fun. Can't say a lot of the things we do in there, but it's fun.
Well, yeah, it's a good time. That goes without saying.
Yeah, we have a good time in there, and that's probably some of the stuff I'll miss the most. Yeah. That's some of my best memories.
But locker room baseball, and Coach Whitehead comes in every day.
Oh, yeah.
He gets it. He'll be making calls, like it's a first base umpire.
Yeah, like
Elkins will come in. He'll make calls. Now we have the Rock, Paper, Scissors tournament that Coach Elkins actually won. I think it was Friday. Coach Elkins won the Rock, Paper, Scissors tournament.
Yeah,
so he'll get a first-round bye today. That'll be big time. And then, you know, as an offensive lineman, there's more moves than people would think.
Yes.
In terms of finishing blocks, you know, you've got the snatch. You've got the, not ideal, but a hip toss. You've got the straight drive him into the ground.
Yeah.
You've got the one-punch wonder. What do you think your favorite move is as an offensive lineman?
As an offensive lineman.
Besides flash hands on pass pro.
mine would probably be snatch on pass pro, just because when they're trying to bull rush you and they think they might have you beat because you're like hopping back and everything, when you get to snatch them and they like their feet leave the ground, that's a fantastic feeling, and they just go down straight to the ground and go limp and get to do the good old jump on top of them.
No, it's the best.
It's a great feeling when you get to do
pulled the chair out of one kid against at ETBU.
Yeah. It was pretty bad. His feet were in the air. It was one of my favorite blocks I've had.
That was pretty. What has been? Do you have one block that you remember in your career? That one?
Literally probably one of the only ones last year, who do we play?
Was it the NAU one?
Yeah, last year against NAU, I had a drive where me and Bodie were comboing up to a backer, and I just hit Bodie's guy perfectly on the hip, and that guy goes flying. I get up to the linebacker and just straight up threw him. Like, I'm locked on and then just threw
him. So almost a choke slam.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
That got a lot of good attention in the film room that Sunday. It was a heck yeah circle from Coach Burleson.
Yeah, that was probably my favorite block.
That was a really good one.
Yeah.
Good combo right there. Good deuce to the loco backer.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we really haven't had that many road trips this year. We've had 6 home games.
Yeah.
But now coming up, we got Trinity coming up. That'll be on the road. Next round, Lord willing, that'll be in Georgia most likely.
Yeah.
But do you have a go-to road trip snack? Or whenever we went to Bucky's from ETBU, do you have a go-to road trip snack that you're getting?
I'm always going to get the rainbow sour candies. like the at Bucky's they call them the like power strips or something.
Like the Airhead Extremes.
Yeah, the Airhead Extremes. Those. Oh, that's my favorite one every time. I always a little bit of sour is best way to go. I'm not.
But it's not too much.
It's not.
It's not like a pucker your face kind of uncomfortable like a warhead.
It's either that or sunflower seeds, dill pickle.
All right. Do you get a drink to go with it?
Oh, drink. I just drink water.
Just water?
Yeah, I just drink water.
Okay, that's kind of boring.
I never understood spending money on drinking. I can just go get free water.
But you can get like a yummy like Dr. Pepper or something after a win.
Big Red, huh?
Yeah, I got a Big Red. Yeah, after that, I got a Big Red and a cherry slushy. It was awesome. I'm a big Red fan. I got a Big Blue.
Oh yeah, it was Big
Red. It actually has 10 more grams of sugar than Big Red. It is 87 grams of pure deliciousness. And it's awesome. Next time we go on a road when we go to Trinity, get yourself a Big Blue.
I'll think about it.
You need to. It'll change your life. Oh, you water because it's free. All right. Think of a more exciting answer once. Come on, man. All right, and then what are you doing pregame? Pregame routine for Jackson Lunsford. You know, we're at Shelton. We'll say we're at Shelton, so you have all the commodities that you need.
Yep.
What does a pregame routine look like for Jackson Lunsford?
I've done the same pregame routine ever since I got here, and I'll go out there. So, the receivers, everybody, they go out there, 11:05, I think?
Yeah,
11:05. I go out at 10:40, try not to deal with them being out there. So, we have all the music in the locker room with words I don't understand because I don't understand a lot of that music. So, I'll put my headphones on. I'll start listening to worship music to try and calm me down because if I get too hyped up, I'll start overthinking things. So, I'll put my worship music on. I go out at 10:40. I go to the 7-yard line every single time on our home side, and I make a little cross on the 7-yard line, and then I set my phone down and I run through my blocks for the game, whatever we have game plan. That'll be pass, pro, run game. I'll do that until about 10:50. Then I'll get down and I'll pray for about 5 minutes, and then I walk around the field and go to every single pylon and put a little cross on it and say thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity. And that kind of just helps ground me and like put me in the moment and just make me realize how blessed I am to be doing what I'm doing, just because I know there's a lot of people that can't do this for many different reasons. And I always say another thing is for the ones who can't and the ones who won't, because there's a lot of people that can't do things that I can do, and I have to be blessed for that. But there's also some people that can that just choose not to, and I'm doing that for them too, just kind of like a, hey, you missed out, you know what I'm saying? So I do that, and then I'll just walk around the field, and I'll get back in the locker room and finish with my worship music. I listen to the same song at the end of every single time. It's called No Slaves, No Longer Slaves to Fear. And I just listen to that, and that just kind of grounds me and gets me in the moment.
Well, that already answered my next question, is the go-to pregame song.
Oh, yeah.
So that was a perfect segue right there, and that worked out well.
Yeah.
And it also kind of segues into the next question is, what is your favorite Bible verse?
My favorite Bible verse will be Isaiah 41:10. It comes from my late friend, Kyle Rush. He was my little brother. He passed away, and his favorite Bible verse was Isaiah 41:10, and that's been really close to me ever since he's passed away. And I've just always, every time I think about that verse, I think about him, and I think about how strong the verse is, because it's, I can't think of it. It's, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. And I will strengthen you, I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And that puts you in the moment and makes you realize that everything is already planned for you. You know what I'm saying? Everything has it. God has his will, and it's going to be done no matter what. And that just helps me stay connected to Kyle and stay connected to myself and to God and just realize how blessed I am to do this.
That carries a lot of meaning, I'm sure, a lot of weight to that verse for you, which is incredible, kind of a way to keep his legacy going.
Exactly.
I see you write it on your cleats, which is awesome that you're able to keep that legacy going for him.
Yep.
Did you just call me sir?
I kind of slipped up, yeah. You know, sir, I'm older than you.
But yeah.
Not by much, but I
do. Yeah, I'm the one conducting this interview.
Oh, wow.
And then let's say you're shipwrecked, you know, you're stranded out in the Caribbean somewhere, and there's an uninhabited, deserted island, and there's one teammate that is with you, and you get to choose what teammate this is that you need to help survive on this island.
I'll probably choose Aiden Kincaid. That's my guy. I've known him. He's also from Wiley. Known him my whole entire life. We have pictures with each other when we were like 3 or 4 years old. But he also knows a whole bunch of everything. He knows how to. Me and him, we watched the Outdoor Boys. I don't know if y'all know who that is. The survival people. And we've always talked about we want to go on a trip like that and see how long we could last out in the wilderness. And I think me and him could make a little run for it. We might not want to leave the island.
Might make it y'all's home, man.
Might make it our home and just survive out there. So
how's it? We got to watch some of the Outdoor Boys during fall camp this year.
Yeah.
Set up in the locker room during a little downtime. Yeah.
Just hang out and watch some Outdoor Boys.
You know who the Outdoor Boys are?
I've not seen that one.
Oh, it's this
survival guy. He'll go out in the wilderness of like wherever.
He's from Alaska.
Yeah, he goes into Alaska and he'll just. He has a backpack, and he would go, all right, you would just park his car and start hiking. He says, we're here for 3 days. Got to survive.
Yeah, it's
awesome.
It's pretty incredible.
It's so fun to
check that out.
Yeah, the one that we watched.
YouTube.
It's on YouTube, yeah. And he, like, retired, but his son still makes videos.
Yeah, his son's, and like, 12 years old and can
still. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's insane.
So you and Kincaid are going to give y'all's crack at the Outdoor Boys, huh?
Yeah, I think we need to.
All right, then. I think we might need to make this happen.
I think we might.
Once the season's over.
Out in West Texas.
I think so, yeah. Put y'all down in the south side of Abilene, up in the hills, and see what happens.
Yeah, I bet we could survive. I bet we find a way.
Yeah. I bet y'all, the Cowboys always find a way.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, before we let you go here, if there's anybody that you want to give a shout out to in your life that's helped you get to where you are?
Shout out to, obviously, my family. I love my family. They got me here for sure. Coaches-wise, Coach Maskell from Wiley, he is one of the most influential coaches I've ever had in my life. He came here to Hardin-Simmons, and he kind of always was in my ear about how good this place really was. And I'm so thankful and in debt to him because this place has changed my life, and he's the one that really got me here just because I knew how great of a person he was. And I was like, if he came here, I know this place is going to be good because it makes real men. So I'd shout out Coach Maskell, my mom, my dad, my siblings. I'm the youngest of four. I'm a little baby. They made me tough. They used to beat me up pretty good, so they made me tough. And then just all my awesome friends, my girlfriend, Allie. I mean, I got everybody that's helped me. Got my own little fan group that just always keeps me grounded, keeps me humble when I get a little too big, or like helps build me up if I get down a little too much. So it's a great group. And then shout out the whole offensive line, our weird guys.
Yeah,
all right, guys.
You gotta love it.
You gotta love it.
It's a fantastic group we have.
A fantastic group.
I gotta give a couple shout outs for him too.
Well, of course,
obviously,
of course.
Allie. He mentioned Allie. Allie's my GA, so she's doing awesome. She does all the graphics you see. She's in on it. So
heck yeah.
What she's doing right now is making graphics.
She really?
she does an awesome job, and I can send her something at 10 o'clock at night and say, hey, I need this one, and she's got it ready to go. So she's awesome. And then your mom is the president of the parents group.
Yeah, the parents group.
And that's such a big thing that people don't see, but they do so many things for the Cowboy football program.
Yeah. Big one coming up with Thanksgiving.
And she's done a great job with that. She's been involved with it the whole time. And
she's definitely done a great job.
You know, whoever's in charge of that's, you know, kind of the liaison between Coach Burleson and the parents, and you know, Coach Burleson doesn't want to talk to parents.
No
coach wants to talk to parents, but parents also want to be involved. You know, they want to know what's going on, and you know what's up, and she's done a great job with that. So, shout out Amy.
Yeah, shout out mom. She's pretty awesome. She's done everything.
And then your dad can cook.
Oh yeah, he can cook.
Yeah,
he's the cook.
Are we having another Super Bowl party at your house this year?
I think we have to.
Good. His dad made like probably like 8 to 10 trays of just food last year.
Everything last year had ribs, pulled pork,
quail poppers.
Yeah,
those were unreal.
Yeah, it's pretty good. We know how to cook at our house. That's why I think I'm an offensive lineman. We know how to cook.
Well, exactly. Yeah, man.
Yeah, my dad can cook. Awesome guy. Love him to death. Love my mom to death. Love my whole family. They're pretty awesome. Made me who I am.
Yeah.
Awesome. Appreciate you coming in.
Yes, sir.
That's gonna wrap up this.
Yeah.
We went long, but that's good.
It was a good episode. Yeah. Good episode today.
So, you know.
And I always go.
Four conference championships in the fall. We got to head and talk about that a little bit. And then,
Not too shabby of a fall for the Cowboy Athletic Program.
You know.
Yeah.
Everything's still out there for football, and then basketball has started up, and they're going well. So.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, appreciate it. This has been the Hoo Ya Podcast. I'm Chad Grubbs.
And I'm Cole Burke.